WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A legal win for the Trump administration as a federal appeals court overturns a lower court's restraining order, clearing the way for National Guard troops to deploy to Portland, Oregon. KXL's Heather Roberts.
Oregon Governor Tina Kotek says the National Guard remains staged and cannot be deployed until there's a full review of the ruling. And she says the 2-1 decision by the Ninth Circuit is based on false information.
That administration is being dishonest, and these actions to deploy troops are a gross, un-American abuse of power.
Kotek continues to blame federal law enforcement for unrest outside Portland's ICE building.
The federal agents on the ground are essentially instigating conflict with folks who are lawfully protesting.
Heather Roberts for CBS News, Portland, Oregon.
Police say they've prevented a possible mass shooting at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. Authorities say that Billy Joe Cagle of Cartersville, Georgia, drove to the airport with a semi-automatic weapon and ammo in his truck today. Cartersville Police Captain Greg Sparaccio.
We were alerted by family members that Mr. Cagle was en route to somewhere in the Atlanta area. They weren't sure. Ultimately, we found out it was the Atlanta airport and that he had the intention to inflict harm to as many people as he could.
Cagle faces multiple charges, including making terroristic threats. Former President Biden has completed a round of radiation therapy to treat an aggressive form of prostate cancer. CBS's Matt Piper.
A spokesperson says the former president, who turns 83 next month, finished several weeks of radiation therapy treatment at Penn Medicine Radiation Oncology in Philadelphia, ringing the bell. But it's unclear whether Biden will need to undergo any other treatment, since doctors always need to assess a patient's progress in the weeks after they complete cancer treatment.
People across the world had a hard time accessing businesses, chat sites, and other apps after what Amazon Web Services calls an underlying issue that needed to be fixed. It's bouncing back, but CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur points out.
For many companies, particularly retailers, banks, and all sorts of others that process data constantly, every second that's lost is money down the drain.
The federal government shutdown is now the third longest in U.S. history. On day 20, another GOP short-term funding bill has failed in the Senate. CBS's Nicole Killian on Capitol Hill.
Efforts to reopen the government, even on a temporary basis, have stalled on Capitol Hill.
We're not going to negotiate on anything until Democrats stop holding government funding hostage.
Our country is staring down the barrel of a health care catastrophe.
As Democrats and Republicans remain at odds over a key sticking point, whether to extend health insurance subsidies under the Affordable Care Act.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 93.5 The Tap.
The Bucks are ready to go. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks kick off their season at home this Wednesday night when they take on the Washington Wizards at Fiserv Forum, and it'll be the first time they face off against former Buck Chris Middleton, who they traded to Washington last season. Doc Rivers says they're planning a special video tribute to Middleton during the game. How come?
Because he's a Buck for life, no matter where he's at. Pat Connaughton's a Buck for life, Brooke Lopez, and so we lost three of those guys from last year. Chris will be the first one coming back. And, you know, the Milwaukee fans are phenomenal. So, you know, it's so funny. The one thing I'm not worried about is, like, usually the question, if this was a lot of other places, are you think the fans are going to boo? Of course not. They're not. We traded him. He won a title for us, and he's a Buck, and he's part of this community. Good as he was all on the court, I thought he was a superstar off the court, him and his wife, with all the things they did for the community.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. K-pop Demon Hunters is a phenomenon kids can't seem to get enough of, and their parents can't seem to get the original soundtrack out of their heads. Buckle up, folks, or buy some earplugs, because the film is returning to the big screen for some Halloween sing-alongs. The Netflix animated fantasy adventure tells the story of a K-pop girl band that protects people from demons with song. Netflix is behind the theatrical release and is encouraging moviegoers to wear costumes. Pop Culture Jeopardy! Has been renewed for a season 2. In a related story, there's a show called called Pop Culture Jeopardy, and it's already been on for a whole season. The show will be moving from Amazon Prime to Netflix and has the same answer with a question format as the actual Jeopardy. Host Colin Jost is currently in talks to return to the show, which should be back in 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 93.5 The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, passing showers, cold and windy. Temps drop through the 40s tonight and remain there through your Tuesday afternoon. At times, wind gusts higher than 40 miles an hour. Temps slowly warm through the rest of the week. Right now, it's 48.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we'll talk about the growth of wind and solar power generation across rural Wisconsin. And we'll hear from candidate for governor, Representative Francesca Hong.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cook.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we got an awesome show, as always. It's going to start out with Wendy Pilot here, co-host, and then later on, Dr. Stately, and then we're going to play a speech in its entirety of Dr. Kate Bean at the No Kings rally. But I just wanted to get a quick report. Wendy and I were at the No Kings rally in downtown Minneapolis, and what a great time. And if you're watching this on Facebook Live or YouTube or any of the social medias, you can see Wendy has turned into a frog with a resist arm up and a Nobel Peace Prize around her neck.
You know, when I saw that frog, the Portland frog, Portland, yeah. Oregon,
yeah.
And the frog is standing in front of the ICE agents and he's like moving back and forth,
mm-hmm.
suggestively.
Ooh.
And I just, and then the whole thing just blew up on social media. You know, this frog is everywhere, holding his arm up. You know, resist. I saw one, a frog that had the Nobel Peace Prize around its neck. So I said, okay, I'm going to paint the frog with his arm up and I'm going to put resist. And you guys out there can check it out. It's pretty big. It goes down lower, but we couldn't get it in the shot. But this says it all right here, you know. Absolutely. I was really happy to paint it. And Robert, I also painted you a sign.
Yes.
That said, too many issues for one sign.
I love that.
On a sign. A lot of people like that. So we were in, like Robert said, we were in downtown Minneapolis. And the count... news agents are saying 100 to 150,000 people were there.
I believe.
And it was just, I have to just say, incredible. There were amazing speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Kate Bean, you're going to play her.
Yep, Dr. Bean.
Yep. Yep.
Hey, Wendy, yeah. One of the things you posted a bunch of the signs up, and one of my favorites were, if there's any Justin, big, beautiful Bill will be... the name of Trump's cellmate. That
yeah.
was one of my old Bill.
That know, is
big and beautiful.
Amazing. Yeah. And it was really amazing to just see the masses that showed up all over the country, mm-hmm. in every single state.
All over the world.
All over the world. Yes. Yes. London, Paris.
Yeah. Japan.
Japan had an amazing.
Yeah.
South Korea had an amazing one also. I mean, they know what could happen.
They see what's happening here better than a lot of our 30% mega relatives that are floating around here. You know,
there's a couple of people who I know who are Democrats, and they're on our side. And some of their comments were kind of upset me a little bit, because they were like, "This is just a waste of time. You're wasting your time. He's still going to be the president. He's still going to do all the stupid, you know, stuff in Washington, and, you know, just it's a waste of time." And I just want to respond to that and say, you know, being out there with 100,000 plus people who are like-minded, in a good mood, who are, you know, exercising our free speech right while we still have it. We're there in solidarity. We're there together. There's music, there's speakers. I just looked around and I just said to myself, you know, these people out here haven't lost their minds like the rest of the people out there.
Yeah.
They haven't lost their minds, you know. So we were around that many people who haven't lost their minds. And you know what? I came home after the No Kings protest. Mm-hmm. I felt hopeful.
Yes.
Like, I haven't felt hopeful since he was inauguration day.
Well, that's perfect.
I haven't.
That's perfect. I've seen that too, Wendy. And I feel the same way. It's like, this is doing something. This is like, you're not home isolated and wondering if you're the only crazy one that thinks that this president's off the rocker. Because if you read our Republican friends' things on social media, they're clueless. Like, one of the responses I saw is like, well, that protest worked because there's still no kings. And it's just like, you know, whatever.
Right. Yeah. It's really something. It really is. You know, again, I felt hopeful. I felt good. It was so peaceful. There were 100,000 people plus, and not one arrest, not one problem. I think there were a couple of hecklers out there, right?
I don't know.
But I didn't see them. I wasn't going to respond to them if we did, you know, see them. We weren't going to. And, you know, the Republicans are still saying that they're saying that somebody gave, I think, $3 million to pay protesters to come out. And if you divided that among us, it was like 49 cents each.
Wow.
Yeah. To actually believe that 7 million people were paid to protest. This right here is why we're stuck with Trump level nonsense. Like, seriously. Totally. But that's what they believe, you know, because they don't, you know, and then it's just.
I want to also give a shout out. We were out at a Friday night.
Yes.
We saw a great new art exhibit at the Walker.
Yes.
That runs till February 15th.
Yeah, check it out.
In a Whitehawk love language. And was that amazing? I went there the night before with the media opening to it. And then I went to All My Relations Art, which had an opening too, which was amazing. All My Relations Art, we'll talk about that again this week. And that just started too. That was amazing too, Wendy.
Remind me the dates of the Walker. You have to get there.
The Walker lasts till February 15th.
February 15th. Okay. Yeah.
And it's opened last Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. The artist is amazing. We actually got to talk to her, and there was a big program before we got to even go in to see the art. So it was really a very special
10,000 square feet of her art.
Yes.
Of the last 15 years from her career.
Yeah. And it's really just like Native American kind of abstract art that is just incredible. And looking at these art pieces, you just say, this is like thousands of hours of painstaking.
I know, drawing those long glass beads on everything.
It's just incredible. It's just really incredible.
I don't know if you saw Dr. Bean's skirt at the protest.
I did.
But it looked like she had that design on there.
Yes, she did.
With the long beads.
The long beads.
Each one painted in or put in with tweezers or God knows what.
Oh, it's just so hard. I mean, yeah.
Hey, I want to switch gears too now. Okay. We only got like a minute left.
Sure.
I just want to say that, you know, we're going to be out at Dayton's again. But this year, Wendy's going to be having her art out at Southdale during Christmas. And it's going to be amazing. You're going to have 10 original paintings, I believe, and then prints and things like that, and cards and stickers and all
that. We're also going to sell some wild rice.
Yeah.
Yes, we're going to sell some wild rice. I have some. Really nice earrings.
Yes.
That I made by hand.
That's right.
And
you're going to make some more.
We're going to have some cards and my artwork. Yeah. So my artwork is a little bit of everything. I'm kind of all over the place. I do some watercolors and acrylics. And I tried doing different styles. You know, I haven't found like my niche, I don't think. So I'm just exploring with all kinds of different stuff until I'm totally inspired.
Wow. Hey, up next, we got Dr. Stately. Thanks, Wendy. Thanks for experiencing this weekend with me.
Resist Froggy.
And we'll be right back.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
A reminder to anyone who rides Metro buses. That means the A, B, C, D, gold, orange, or red lines. Remember to pay your fare before you get on. Either buy a ticket at your station's ticket machine, tap your go-to card or pass to the reader at the station, or activate a ticket on the Metro Transit app. Have your proof of payment ready to show to trip agents if asked, or risk getting a citation. Thank you for your continued riding with Metro Transit.
All My Relations Arts presents Matrilineal Memory by Hopi artist Michaela Schaefer. This powerful exhibition blends painting, poetry, and installations, inviting reflections on memory, culture, and healing. Join us for the opening reception Thursday, October 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. at All My Relations Arts on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Matrilineal Memory runs October 16th through December 13th. Experience the unveiling of an exhibition that speaks to the heart. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org. Across Native communities, tradition and connection guide every step. Make Voting a Tradition, or MVAT, honors that spirit, helping generations come together to shape the future of Native communities. By learning from each other and sharing knowledge through trusted relationships, MVAT helps build trust and make sure Native voices are heard. Voting is more than a right. It's a way to protect the needs of your community and build the future you want. Vote together. Stand together. Learn more at makevotingatradition.org.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We have Dr. Stately on tonight. Geez, I've really missed you, Dr. Stately. I hope things are good. I hope you're doing well. I've really missed you the last 2-3 weeks. I know you've had family stuff, and you've also been traveling, and you're building a huge clinic on Franklin Avenue, so it's great to see you.
Yeah. I'm exhausted from all the pounding and the nailing. I'm joking. I'm actually not building the actual clinic. I'm just... I'm not building it. You know, in fact, if I was building that building, I wouldn't want to go in, and I would trust not to fall down.
Yeah.
As soon as you open
you'd be buff. You'd have Popeye arms with all the hammering and the concrete and all that that's going on. I just drove by there, and I'm just totally amazed where it's at.
Thank you. I will tell you that some people say I'm buff now, but you know, just saying. But more like chubby.
No, no, no,
have you been there recently? We're already starting the third floor and it's really exciting.
Yes.
Yeah. And of course we're, you know, the weather is turning. It was cold today, cold and, you know, like rainy, and it felt like the beginning of winter, like the, you know, the suggestion of winter perhaps. And it was like, I don't really like this a whole lot.
No.
A lot going on. We're trying to rapidly get it done. So a lot going on. It's, I didn't make it to the No Kings demonstration. I kind of forgot about it. And I went and hung out with my niece, Nichez Bolio, who is a muralist. And she was one of the artists that was part of the group that did the new mural under the Hiawatha Lake Street underpass.
Wow.
It's really remarkable. I was just so amazed at the beauty of that that mural. Mm-hmm. And she was there finishing up some stuff, and I was I went to hang out with her for a little bit, and then we went to a relative's fire, one of our friends and one of our well-known elders in the community passed away this last weekend. Yeah. And so I had forgotten about the No Kings thing until all of the protesters started walking past, you know, getting off the bus and walking past, and I went back and looked at video. It was huge event.
It was really huge. And what's kind of exciting to me, I wanted to make sure I made Standing Rock because that was kind of my wounded knee. I'm too young for that. Mm-hmm. And then also growing up a block from Summit Avenue, I really witnessed as a very small child the Vietnam protests and how big those were from the Capitol, from the U. And so I try to make all these because it's amazing and it's life-changing, and hopefully getting people out there like-minded makes us all feel better with this, what's going on here.
Yeah. I was disappointed that I had forgotten it, but I would have liked to have brought my children and my sons. So I was talking to them this weekend, though. I was like, you're 18 now, and you got to get registered to vote. I'm going to make you vote in November. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take you to the poll. Then I reminded them, like, I had taken them, like, I think when they were in first or second grade, took them for the first time with me to vote. And, you know, they had, like, a little voting booth, too, for, like, the kids just to learn, you know, about civic responsibility. And so I was, like, reminded them, like, okay, you're voting. We're going to vote in the Prior Lake election, because specifically in the school board, because there's this fairly, you know, MAGA friendly gentleman running for school board that's gonna sort of undo a lot of things. That Please, school board you? Dismantled their commitment to DEI last year. Rescinded their resolution around equity and inclusion last year. So
jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we gotta
good old Prior Lake.
Yeah, well, we have to pick our battles, definitely, or we get too spread out and we get sick. And so, yeah, definitely that's a battle that needs to be fought, too. So what else is going on with you? I know sounds like somebody's in the background's either tinkling or washing their hands. I'm not sure what's going on.
I think he was washing potatoes, and now he's frying them.
Nice.
Rinsing them. Yeah, now he's frying them.
Well, we could do a cook show after this with him, maybe 6 o'clock.
We could. I did ask him to wait, but he didn't, you know, he's desperate for those potatoes.
Yeah, I know. I know how it can be, though. So I feel them, definitely. It's like going
to those. Things are going well for the most part. I mean, things are moving along really nicely on our clinic, the build out. You know, and there's always something challenging to do. You know, we had to rebuild the front part of our building, the walkway. We had to install a new a new sidewalk so that people could get in fairly easily into the front door of the clinic. Because I don't know if you've been there recently or not. I don't even think you've come to my clinic, actually, now that I think about it. But you visited. You visited it from afar.
Oh, yes.
Usually from, from the windows of Maria's.
They let me in, though, a couple times.
Did they?
I was looking for you, but you weren't there. I don't know. I think you were working online that day.
No,
this was a while ago. This was a while.
I was going to say, what was this, like 2020?
I think so.
No, but my office that I actually office is above Maria's in the old Leech Lake space. So if you ever look for me there. What I was going to say was that we had to rebuild that sidewalk because, like, the original sidewalk is now part of the building. So, like, you know, so we had to create a whole new walkway so that elders like yourself could, you know, use their walkers and walk.
Yeah. Soon enough.
Walk, you know, on the walkway without getting tripped. And so that's what
I'm saving up on my tennis balls. So, you know, I know those are important for those walkers. So I got a few of those.
Yeah. And you know what? They sell those tennis balls at, like, the drugstores. And it's like, and they're expensive. And I'm like, how hard is it to buy, like, a regular tennis ball? And, like, just cut a slice in it and put on your little
thing. I don't know.
So you got to pay like extra for that, somebody to slice that tennis ball for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's going well, and we're making some good progress there. We're actually ahead of schedule, which is good because we don't know what winter's going to bring, right? So
yeah,
one good, you know, polar vortex could like close us down for a whole week or so. So we're just trying our best to get we're going to get the corn shell built, you know, the whole building, and then hopefully spend most of the winter and most of the spring and early summer building out the inside of the building.
Remind everybody what we got going here. I mean, we have first time listeners and we're all over the country too. So remind our listeners.
Well, you can visit my clinic's website, which is the Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis. And the website is NACC, our acronym, -healthcare.org. And you can see there's actually a camera. You can click on we have this really cool thing where you can do like a time-lapse camera.
Oh.
That shows you, like, you know, where we...
We could link that next time. Shoot.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, there you go. And that's pretty cool. It's kind of cool. You get to watch, like, you know, all the trucks coming in and the people coming in and out. And, you know, it's like, you know, it's like a, feels like a Roblox video. The building's building. But it's, those are going well. And, you know.
How many floors?
There'll be 6 floors altogether, 2 floors of new clinic. We're expanding from about 21,000 square feet or so to about almost 40,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
The dental clinic is going from 5 chairs to 12, which is 150% growth. The medical clinic is going from 13 rooms to 18 rooms. And then our behavior health clinic is going from, like, I think, 5 offices to 8. So we'll get 3 and new therapists. And then... you know, the thing I'm the most excited about is, like, we are building this big, you know, it's not huge. It's not anywhere near the size of the grandfather's room at the Indian Center, but it's like, you know, 1500 to 1800 square feet community room where we'll do all of our traditional healing work, our traditional healing department and division employees. They all put on like 2 or 3 ceremonies a month. Wow. We have workshops where you can make regalia and make the kinds of things that you would need to be able to participate in ceremony and those kinds of things. And that community center is focused and centered right at the front of the building. So it's like one of the first things you see when you walk into the lobby. So it's like you kind of see the community at work.
This is 93.5 The Tap. CBS News Brief. A federal appeals court issues a ruling that clears the way for the Trump administration to deploy troops to Portland, Oregon. Governor Tina Kotek says the National Guard remains staged and cannot be deployed until there's a full review of the ruling.
This decision, from the dissenting point of view, attacks the sovereign authority of states to control their militia.
Police say they prevented a possible mass shooting at Atlanta Hartsfield-Jackson Airport this morning, thanks to a call from the suspect's family. Cartersville Police Captain Greg Sparacio.
We are familiar with Mr. Cagle. He's got a criminal history in Cartersville. Again, no one would ever see anything like this. See something, say something really did work.
CBS's Matt Piper with an update on former President Joe Biden's cancer diagnosis.
Biden has completed a round of radiation therapy to treat an aggressive form of prostate cancer, an encouraging sign of progress, but one that does not signal the end of his treatment.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Bucks are ready to go. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks kick off their season at home this Wednesday night when they take on the Washington Wizards at Fiserv Forum, and it'll be the first time they face off against former Buck Chris Middleton, who they traded to Washington last season. Doc Rivers says they're planning a special video tribute to Middleton during the game. How come?
Because he's a Buck for life, no matter where he's at. Pat Connaughton's a Buck for life, Brooke Lopez, and so we lost three of those guys from last year. Chris will be the first one coming back. And, you know, the Milwaukee fans are phenomenal. So, you know, it's so funny. The one thing I'm not worried about is, like, usually the question, if this was a lot of other places, are you think the fans are going to boo? Of course not. They're not. We traded him. He won a title for us, and he's a Buck, and he's part of this community. Good as he was all on the court, I thought he was a superstar off the court, him and his wife, with all the things they did for the community.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. At this past weekend's box office, horror was king. Not a huge surprise with Halloween right around the corner, but give some credit to good reviews and a solid sequel as Black Phone 2 landed at number 1 with $26.2 million at the gate. The original Black Phone also had decent reviews and opened with about $23 million at the box office. Coming in second place was last week's winner, Tron Aris, which pulled in about $11 million. Good Fortune came in at number 3 in its first week of release with pretty good reviews for this comedy that brought in just over $6 million. One Battle After Another brought in $4 million in its fourth week in theaters for a total haul of about $62 million domestically. Action comedy True Story Roofman brought in $3.5 million in its second week. According to Variety, despite Black Phone 2's impressive weekend, the results were a bit lackluster. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, passing showers, cold and windy. Temps drop through the 40s tonight and remain there through your Tuesday afternoon. At times, wind gusts higher than 40 miles an hour. Temps slowly warm through the rest of the week. Right now, it's 48.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, and it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot. Or
please,
something.
Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and I dig into Donald Trump's promise to sick the IRS on his enemies. I thought that was illegal. We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we're just catching up here a little bit, and we're talking a little bit about the clinic that's being built that he's CEO of, and really excited for the Native American Community Clinic to be finished. And, you know, it's funny, too. We were looking, Dr. Stately, Wendy and I, about going to a local clinic here. I won't say Fairview, but they are not giving out COVID shots. And it's pretty bizarre, the one in our neighborhood. Go. I don't know. Is there something going on with that since the president and RFK Jr. are talking smack about it? Or what's going on with these
shots?
Well,
I think the bigger issue is like some places can't, like, so some places will make you go to your pharmacy to get it. So you can get it. Like, I got mine at my local Walmart pharmacy a couple weeks ago. I think I remember telling you that I wasn't feeling well. And that was like a result of actually getting my COVID and flu shot on the same day. And we got it at a pharmacy, and it's covered by your insurance if you have Medicare, or if you also have some other private insurance. You have to pay for it out of your pocket. It's going to be very expensive. Since the emergency declaration ended over a year ago, like this time last year, I think actually it was in April. The vaccine isn't covered by the government. It's now something that your insurance company should cover. And that's going to be challenging because a lot of people are getting mixed messages about it. Like, it's, you know, Robert F. Kennedy took it off the list of coverable, and it's like, this is not a requirement anymore. Like, you can choose to have it. So once you take something off of the, HHS's, formulary or list of required vaccines or required vaccinations, then insurance companies can decide not to cover it. And, you know, if it's a Medicaid or a Medicare, you're under like the government sort of like finance structure, sometimes it'll impact that as well. He backed away from that a day or two after saying this publicly and announcing that. But I think some of the things that might be concerning and challenging for our communities is that, like, unless you are sort of like on top of the news, unless you're paying attention to things like that, you might still be operating under the perception like it's not something that's a covered thing. So I'm not going to, and I don't have insurance, so I won't go get it, or my insurance isn't going to pay for it. It's just like one of the ways in which, like, it's a good example of like how, like, you know, RF Kennedy, who is not a physician, who doesn't, has never worked in healthcare ever, who doesn't have any knowledge or training of like how to operate a healthcare system or deliver care. Like, he's never done anything like that. He has absolutely no experience and training. And he makes decisions, he makes policy decisions, and he makes them, you know, on, you know, X, and he makes them publicly, and he says all this, quite frankly, unintelligent and not well thought out comments about things like vaccines or other things, like, you know, the autism thing, or, you know, he makes these comments and it has an impact on our public's understanding of where the government stands, you know, where the Health and Human Services stands, where, you know, CDC stands on certain things. And then the American public has for decades relied on these institutions to give them good information. And he's giving them really faulty information, really poorly thought through edicts and directives. And that narrative gets out there, and then people don't ever hear like the correction or whatever. It's just, it's another way in which like the leader at the top, you know, the CEO of the country, the president, is not doing his job, which is like, you don't speak and you don't say, you know, I think the one thing that I find challenging about this president and this human being is like, the man does not have an editor. He doesn't have an internal editor.
Like, right.
He didn't, he wasn't born with one, or never got one, or maybe he broke it right away. like he breaks a lot of things. But yeah, the thing is that he just spews misinformation, and he spews like not well thought out ideas and plans. Or he'll say, I'm going to do this, but doesn't have a plan for how to do it. Or and it's just
right.
Like, you know, what I've learned being the CEO of a little teeny tiny clinic is like, you don't say things wildly crazy in public until you have it well thought out, because right, it impacts people. It impacts their health, it impacts their mm-hmm. livelihood. You know, and he just keeps doing this thing, and the people that he puts into office are carbon copies of himself, so like little minions, and they just kind of follow him, and you know, so it's problematic.
Well, you can bet that those two got their vaccine, but then
absolutely remember, like back when the pandemic happened,
yes,
he was like just bad mouthing it and doing all
right.
Pardon the friend. I hope you had the bleeper there.
7 second delay.
Yes. And he remembered that when he got sick, he got
everything.
He got everything, right? He wasn't drinking bleach, which is what he was telling people to do.
Right.
He was getting like, you know, great treatment, and he was okay. I mean, I got sick right after him. I ended up in the hospital. I remember saying to my doctor, I was like, I want what that guy got.
Right.
Whatever that guy got, I want.
Exactly.
Well, that's not available to you yet. You're not a dignitary.
Right.
So I have a whole lot more dignity than he is.
Do you remember when he walked all those stairs? The point being is that
it's just, yeah. Oh my God. It's just like, you know, and I think one of the things that like, I just, like, I have to pick, like, I just, for the sake of my sanity, I have to pick the things that I'm going to sort of kind of step into and, you know, fight for. Mm-hmm. I have this, you know, my kids played hockey in Prior Lake. So I have all these, you know, white women hockey moms that I've like made friends with and became like Facebook friends and buddies with over the years. They go through my Facebook and like eliminate them all and block them all because they say stupid stuff.
Hey, you haven't been on the radio in a while here, Mr. Potty Mouth.
It's been a week or two.
I'm gonna tell you, Bobby Wilson only swore once, and now you swore twice, so that's amazing. That's
okay, really, but I haven't been on for 2 weeks, so it's really just, you know, I'm making up for last time here.
Yeah. Thanks, Patrick. Thank Patrick at the mother station there. I'm sure he's hitting the panic button.
Anyway, like I've decided, like I got to go eliminate some of these people off my Facebook friends list, just because they like say the most. One of them posted this stupid thing, like, you know, oh, you know, we didn't complain about, you know, we complained about Obama and this and this and this, and you know, at least, and one of the things was like at the end of the thing, which like I was gonna comment, you know, I was like, I was gonna be that person, right? Like, you know, post back, like, you know, call her a name and, you know, like a Ken Wood and all the other things.
You can do that anonymously too.
Threaten to, like, meet me in the Walmart parking lot and we'll have a conversation about this.
Yes. The Walmart.
But, But I was like, thinking about doing that. And I thought, you know what? I'm not even going to waste my time. And the other reason I'm not going to do it is because she just reposted something else that somebody else posted and she couldn't think for herself and say her own comments.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's like, and it's like that to me, that is the thing that is problematic in this whole conversation, which is like, you got MAGA morons,
echo chamber.
And it's like, and they just, all they do is like repost the thing that somebody else said that, you know, they don't even know. And they're like, they don't think for themselves. This is the thing that I think I'm the most concerned about is, like, you know,
right.
The Republicans and the Conservative Party for decades now has been dumbing down America by divesting in, like, education and doing, like, and
right.
What you do is you get a country full of, like, sheep that don't know how to think, don't know how to articulate their own thoughts or ideas or feelings. They don't know how to, they don't know how to interpret, you know, the Constitution.
Well, what about our young ones seeing this and normalizing the last 10 years? Like, your kids were 8 years old when this all started, and this is, they don't know that, you know, politicians used to get along and have coffee together, but we're, you know, trying to work out things for their own constituents instead of just this black and white crap that we have going on.
My kids could do a better job of understanding. And I, you know, and the other thing I'm going to fault is, like, and I'm going to take the blame for some of this as well. Like, I could have done a better job of educating them and train and teaching them about civic life. Right. But you know, they came of age in a pandemic, they came of age in all this chaos, and I'm trying to manage it all and run a health center and do a bunch of other things. I can't teach them every single thing, but guess what? Who should have taught them is that effer in middle school that taught them civics. Did they teach them the thing? They didn't teach them the thing, right?
Right.
And so here's the thing is, like, that's the biggest challenge I have about all of this. It's just like, you know, you make enough people completely unintelligent, unknowledgeable about, like, how our system of government works, and you can control them. And that's exactly what they've done.
Right? Absolutely.
And that to me is my bigger concern. So I keep telling my sons to, I say things like, get off Instagram. It's eating your brain. Like that. Sorry.
Yeah. Oops. Oh, there we go again. Hey, Dr. Stately, great to see you. That was four. And we'll take that out of your paycheck, and we'll find you later here. So, hey, thanks for coming on. And
the FCC is coming after me.
Oh, thank goodness we have Patrick at the mother station. Thank you, Patrick. Hey, Native Roots Radio, up next, we're going to have Dr. Kate Bean's speech from yesterday. We'll see you later.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
A reminder to anyone who rides Metro buses. That means the A, B, C, D, gold, orange, or red lines. Remember to pay your fare before you get on. Either buy a ticket at your station's ticket machine, tap your go-to card or pass to the reader at the station, or activate a ticket on the Metro Transit app. Have your proof of payment ready to show to trip agents if asked, or risk getting a citation. Thank you for your continued riding with Metro Transit.
All My Relations Arts presents Matrilineal Memory by Hopi artist Michaela Schaefer. This powerful exhibition blends painting, poetry, and installations, inviting reflections on memory, culture, and healing. Join us for the opening reception Thursday, October 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. at All My Relations Arts on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Matrilineal Memory runs October 16th through December 13th. Experience the unveiling of an exhibition that speaks to the heart. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and this is Native Roots Radio. Hey, I want to end the show here, get close to ending the show here, and I want to play Dr. Kate Bean's speech at the No Kings March on this past Saturday. So bear with me, and let's take a listen to Dr. Kate Bean.
And for Indigenous rights and justice, please welcome to the stage Dr. Kate Bean.
Washichu'ia, Dr. Kate Bean, Imakiapie, Dakota Ia, Ahidipiwin Demeye, Wapai Pakshan Oyate Hemataha, Yushkian Wachiankapie. Hello, my relatives. In English, I'm known as Dr. Kate Bean. In my Dakota language, I'm known as Brings Them Home Woman. I am a citizen of the bend in the river Oyate, the Flanders Santi de Sioux Dakota, and I am happy to see you all here today. My Tiwahe, my family, comes from Black Dog's Village, which many of you know today as Egan. We come from Kapoja, known today as St. Paul, from Hayata Otume and Bede Makaska, here in South Minneapolis. I come from the people who were removed from this state under military guard. But my family has returned home. Here to Dakota lands to help remind everyone in Minnesota Makoche that as Dakota people, we have survived. And we continue to thrive despite attempts at extermination. My family worked with our community to restore the name Bede Makaska during the last Trump administration. We fought back against erasure, and we continue to stand in our power today. Indigenous people know firsthand what it's like to be silenced, to be removed, imprisoned, and killed by this country's government. But we will all remember that compliance is never an option when our relatives are hurting. So to hell with Minnesota Nice. As Indigenous people, this land, we all know firsthand how to resist, reclaim, and fight for our humanity. We fight for our existence. I stand before you today, and my children are here today as reminders that evil does not always win. We know that authoritarianism seeks to destroy who we are as Ikchashta, as Ikchewichashta, as human beings. We know the patterns of history. We remember what has come before, and we learn from it so that we can do better for future generations. The Trump administration is relying on compliance and creating an environment of fear and degradation. Today, we must support all of our relatives who are struggling through these efforts, policies, and practices of hate. I am here today as a tribal citizen, but I also serve as director of a space of refuge in St. Paul called the Minnesota Museum of American Art, also known as the M. As a museum professional, I work in a field that is under attack. Interpretive panels are being whitewashed and removed, and my dear colleagues' livelihoods are being taken simply for speaking the truth and creating space for others. As an arts leader, I know and I see every day how this administration is working to stop us from creating and dreaming together. The biggest threat to those who seek to destroy us is to take away our imagination, our freedoms to dream into existence, the world where we can all be our authentic selves, and where our children can thrive as critical thinkers. Last weekend, my museum opened an exhibition called Queering Indigeneity, highlighting the work of 16 queer, trans, and two-spirit artists from the Upper Midwest. we partner with our Indigiqueer relatives to know that they remain celebrated and loved in our communities here in Minnesota Makoche. I ask everyone here to please support brave museum spaces such as ours who are refusing to be silenced. We need to keep our doors open through these difficult days where funding is being pulled for simply being brave and supporting humanity and the imaginations of those who dare to dream and inspire us into a better world. As a Dakota Wiyan, I also need to remind you all whose land upon which you are standing today. De Dakota Makoche. Repeat after me. De Dakota Makoche. This is Dakota land. We support our tribal communities and Native women who are running for office. Please support our tribal communities and organizations who are running, who are seeking land restoration and land back initiatives. My badass sister here, Peggy Flanagan, is running for U.S. Senate. I do not know a Native woman in Indian country, anyone who has served our people as much as our dear Lieutenant Governor has, who has served all of us over the last 150 plus years. My badass sisters Peggy for U.S. Senate and my sister Shelley Buck for Minnesota House 47A. I am the mother to three fierce little girls, and I am so beyond excited that my daughters have these brave aunties to look up to here in our own homelands. So elect Indigenous excellence and support Native women leading us into the future on Native lands.
That was awesome. That was our friend. That was our friend, Dr. Kate Bean. Just so proud of her. Proud to know her. And just an amazing speaker. Inspiring. And just, I just can't say enough. It was great, great hearing from Dr. Stately today. And also great from hearing from Wendy. And all the great insight she had about this past weekend, and especially with the rally of the No Kings rally in downtown Minneapolis. A special shout out to all the other countries around the world that really supported this too. Sometimes we feel alone, and sometimes we need to see other people that agree with us in a good way, agree with how bad things are, and that we're not alone, you know. And again, we're still here. We are a part of the seventh generation, and you know, we're here fighting for our children and our children's children and their children. So again, thank you so much for listening to Native Roots Radio, and we'll see you tomorrow. And if you are listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote. Vote, vote, vote. We're still here. We'll see you.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Yes, Pat Kreitlow will be joining us after 9:30. I hope you can join us too.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
They were it. That's the ballgame.
Adrian Klenz is executive director of the Center for Deafblind Persons. Those cuts, those programs would be rolled into something else. Is there a group deafblind children could be folded into?
There is no other program. Those seven individuals have the specialized training to help those with dual sensory loss. There's no one else in the state of Wisconsin that has that training.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Authorities say they prevented a possible mass shooting this morning at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, and that the would-be shooter's family called police saying that Billy Joe Cagle of Cartersville said during a live stream that he was going to shoot up the airport. Cartersville Police Captain Greg Sparacio.
We were alerted by family members that Mr. Cagle was en route to somewhere in the Atlanta area. They weren't sure. Ultimately, we found out it was the Atlanta airport.
Cagle is in custody. An appeals court says President Trump can deploy the National Guard to Portland, Oregon. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
Short term, I think the recourse will be continuing to fight this in court and continuing to make their case that the Trump administration has transgressed their authority and, in fact, infringed on state sovereignty.
U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff and President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, are in Israel to make sure that the Gaza peace plan does not unravel, Trump said.
We're going to give it a little chance, and hopefully there will be a little less violence.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.